centuries, mankind has been fascinated with realms outside of our conscious awareness. Through a series of interviews with practitioners, guest speakers, and experts, Liberate the podcast covers all that and more, from health and holistic healing to the supernatural. We aim to educate, motivate, inspire, and liberate your consciousness. Welcome to another episode of Liberate the Podcast. Today we're bringing in somebody that has helped consult with Liberate on one of the brand expansions that we're doing, but she's been a regular customer of this shop, and there's just been this like energy exchange of, hey, what are you doing? What are you up to? And you could just tell that she's up to making a big impact on the planet. And in talking to Chris, who is our guest today, you know, she's really set by making an impact-driven business that creates a ripple effect on society in a very unconscious, seamless way. And she's started her own clothing line called Algorithm. And, you know, so we're going to welcome Chris on, and I want to hear more about her clothing line, Algorithm. And then she started out on this journey, you know, a few years back about making the staple an impact in the energy vibration through clothes. And I think it's amazing. So Chris, welcome. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Hello. Nice to be here. Thanks, Christina, for inviting me in. So basically I had an idea, and it all started about how could I make an impact in my own unique way on the planet by spreading love in some way. And that kind of just ended up formulating through a clothing line that I started. And in Denver, Colorado, actually. And I started screen printing my own clothing and really trying to hone in on how can you make something like love that's completely intangible, tangible. And for me, that was really just putting the intent behind the clothing. And then also I developed a way to make tags that I put on every piece of clothing that say love on it. And for me, that just carries that vibration. And so that was kind of my idea and thinking of like labeling our bodies with the vibration of love. And so just kind of passing that along that way.
Interesting. And so that kind of gets me into, you know, I'm sure that you're familiar, maybe this is part of what sparked you to do that, but all of the water studies that are done with words and sound vibration and even just different written words and how it can literally change the molecular structure of the water molecule when it's flash frozen. Have you seen those?
That's exactly where my thinking came from. I actually wrote a study about it in respect to the clothing that I was making. And, you know, just thinking along the lines of that, and our bodies are made of, you know, 80 whatever percent of water. So it just made sense to me that when you actually label your body, it's essentially the same thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it labeling your body with love.
Yeah, exactly.
What have you found as kind of the effects or what you've heard from people that buy your clothes and different things like that? Because I mean, they're very stylish, and people would just say, hey, you know, I like that, I want to wear it, but they might not even understand why they're buying, or, you know, that there's that hidden meaning behind it. They might be just grabbing it for the style, and then some people are getting behind the message and the purpose too. So you kind of have these two different linear paths of customer base, right?
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And so where have you found the impact, and how have you found the impact, Dean?
Well, touching on both of those ways of capturing business was important to me, because the people that are unaware of it, you know, they may even be receiving in some way a knowingness that is, you know, whatever, coming up within them, and maybe they're going to like end up seeking, you know, going down that path more, trying to find and discover something because of that energy or whatever. And so it's important to me that the clothing does capture people that aren't aware of what it's doing in order to maybe spark something within them. Mm-hmm. And then also when I was out in Denver, the following of people grew so loyal, and we had such an amazing following of people. We really were able to cultivate this tight-knit community and everybody that started to become involved with the brand, and even just seeing the brand, what we were doing, we were putting on a lot of fashion shows, throwing a lot of community gatherings, and people were so excited about the brand, and the following just became so tight-knit. People were getting tattoos of the logo and like those statements. We were calling ourselves a love club, and it was just the impact that it had on the community was kind of astounding to me, because it was, the brand became so meaningful to these people.
Wow.
Yeah,
I love that. And there's something else that you shared with me just the other day, is that, you know, your brand is unique in another set of way too, and about taking away gender.
Yeah.
And allowing it to just be this unisex brand that everything is for everybody, and kind of this higher level of consciousness. You want to share a little bit more?
Yeah, I do, because I really feel that gender neutrality is the way of the future. And I think that so many people are already starting to move in that direction. It's starting to be in the media. It's starting to become more mainstream, recognized, and accepted. And I think it's just going to become even more dominant as the years go by. And so I think it's important to really have, you know, a brand that recognizes that within people. And we're making products that, yeah, they're unisex, they're for everybody. So, you know, we carry all the sizes, but you know, there are some differences with the male and female body types, but really with clothing, you can kind of get away with either or, you know what I mean? I always shop in the men's section. And I think that's kind of what sparked me to even start going down that path of creating unisex, was it's frustrating to like have to shop in the men's section all the time. And like, I just feel like it's, you know, there's a market and there's a need for unisex clothing for people more like me, or just anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what do you find is the response, the general response to that? Are people still having a hard time getting aboard with that? Or do you feel that it's overall accepted by everybody?
Yeah, I think it's overall accepted by everyone. I mean, my mom wears products. Like, I have, like, people back in my spiritual community out in Denver, like, older, you know, females and males alike wearing the same thing. So it's, you know, it's been accepted around all age ranges, and I think it's awesome.
So cool.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, like, important, because in saying that we have unisex clothing and, like, understanding that that is, like, the way of the future, we're really embracing the knowing that within ourselves, having an equal balance of male and female energies is extremely important for, you know, the growth and the unfolding of yourself. And, you know, I think it's important to just embrace that concept that males don't have to be so dominantly male. It's actually beneficial to have an equal balance of female energy, mm-hmm, within themselves, and alike for women, like to have that equal balance of male energy within the woman, and, you know, within the mind and the body and everything. So it's really just embracing that concept of balance.
And now, so bracing that concept of balance and kind of taking us a step forward. So this is the brand that you created 3 years ago, and now you're kind of rebranding yourself, mm-hmm, a little bit. Can you share a little bit about that process and why the decision to kind of rebrand and where you're at now?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously in life, sometimes you get thrown some curveballs, and that's kind of what I was experiencing. It all just kind of happened. Obviously, at the most perfect timing, but the brand did start off with the name Dose Apparel, and our logo was a heart with a drip at the bottom, and that's kind of where the name derived from, like a dose of love, like the drip coming out of the bottom of the heart. And after 3 years and trying to get our trademarks done and all that situated, actually, as I was in the process of moving out here to Los Angeles, I got a call from my lawyer that she notified me that the name didn't get approved, but the logo did and everything. And so we were kind of put in this situation, well, where do we fight it, or do we just like accept it and have a name change? And so like just kind of sat on that for a little bit and let it all like come to me. And I decided that, you know, like I think we kind of outgrew that name and that concept. And at first it was kind of like a hurdle to come across, you know, like, oh, great, we're going to have to restructure, rebrand all these things. But really it was a blessing that I ended up having to do that because came up with the name Algorithm, and I love it. I think that it really just embodies the concept that I have envisioned for the brand, which is kind of a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. That sequence of energy passing along people, which is kind of where we're deriving, like, our mission through the company is to, you know, inspire and support that ripple of awakening through humanity. Mm-hmm. And also it just fits so much perfectly. I redid the logo, all the messaging, and I think it just has so much more of a impact and a power behind it now.
So great. Yeah. I love both. Both names are amazing, and they both have a very strong impact. Mm-hmm. I think that the Algorithm is really a cool segue from where you were, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, it doesn't take away from the dose, but now that you're stepping into it, you can really say, okay, well, what other things that I went through this learning curve, mm-hmm. and I'm understanding and I'm really stepping into this vibration, how do I want it to even expand on a larger scale? And I think that that's what Algorithm does,
yeah.
right? A dose is a one linear, like, hey, this is a little drop, mm-hmm. and an algorithm is what creates programs. It's like this,
it's like the ripple from the drop.
Yeah.
It's like expansion now.
Yeah. Certain algorithm can do the coding for this or that. It can analyze this. It can continue to expand, and mm-hmm. it has that. So you went from this little drop to this big kind of ripple.
Yeah.
And that's where you're at.
Yeah, that's really where I'm at. I mean, energetically, on the business level, where now I'm in here in LA, I'm able to really have so much more capabilities for producing the products and also reaching people. And I'm so grateful where we're at right now. Yeah.
And what do you think the biggest challenge in creating a conscious driven business is?
You know, it's difficult in the fashion, industry. It's a very competitive and, you know, it's important to me that we are, you know, doing what's in the greatest good for all. And that means really honing in on using sustainable products and being able to do that at a price point where we can offer our products at, you know, prices that are good for people, and not, you know, trying to really base our brand and our strategies off of profits, but really trying to like do what's good for everybody. So it's kind of complicated when you have all of the factors going into each of the products and the process of getting it made. So, you know, that's a big thing for us to focus on right now is using sustainable products. And it's difficult and tricky, but we're definitely headed in the right direction, and it's possible, you know, so.
Yeah. And tell us more about your line. And, you know, I know that there's the different tiers to it, but mm-hmm. explain, like, you know, what are your products like and different things like that.
Yeah, so we've really wanted to do something unique. We know there are a lot of spiritual clothing companies out there, and clothes in general, you know, that have that vibration with the designs and everything, but we don't really see a lot of that in streetwear. And that just is particularly my favorite style. I'm always dressed in, you know, black and white and a little more edgy. And I think that there's a a market for it. There's a demand for it there, because we don't see it existing yet. And in fashion and really in any business, you know, you can create a business where there's a demand and where there's not yet something existing. So we're really jumping into the streetwear market, and our clothing is bold. You know, it's black and white. It doesn't really, you know, if someone were to see me walking down the street, they might not right away assume that, you know, I was really spiritual and like heavily focused on my practice and things like that, you know, because of the way that I'm dressed. And I think that that's awesome, because I think that we need to start moving away from judging people on the way that they look and whatever. So I think that it really makes a statement by being like, you know what, like, we're producing these products and we look like, you know, really edgy, but we're also very conscious and we're trying to do what's in the greatest good, but we may not necessarily look like. And I think that that'll really start to like break that, like break the mold kind of.
So you're really kind of coming in like three different facets of producing this ripple effect of change, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So one of which is spreading that love and changing on an energetic vibration. Two, you're breaking the stereotypes and the norms on both the unisex wear and as well as, you know, people that are edgy that might seem like they don't give a, you know, mm-hmm. for use of a better term.
Yeah.
Blank,
exactly.
I notice that I always get flagged every time I swear on here. You know, and then on the third level is you are sourcing and making products in a sustainable way and showing that the overconsumption of the fashion industry that has that stigma of not really caring about environment or different things like that, that you're actually saying, no, you know what, we do care. So it's like mm-hmm. these three different ripples of making change on all of these different layers that can cause for this transformation.
Yeah, transformation, you know, and I think that word's important, because as we all are transforming within ourselves, obviously the effect of that is outer transformation. And I think it's important for brands and companies to step up and say, we see what's happening on the planet. We see this energetic shift, and having a business model based on that. And I think it's so important that people start to look at what they're doing in their businesses and checking themselves and saying, is this in the greatest good for all? Because the way that I see it, as people start to become more conscious on a mass level, it's going to be the norm. It's going to be what consumers expect. It's going to be the norm. So I really think that it's important for us to start out on that foot to begin with, because when I created the brand, I wasn't like, oh, I want to start a business and I want to like create clothing and I want people to wear it and know my name. That was never the inspiration for me. It was always, how can I spread love? How can I create awareness? And so in being conscious on that level, it's important to be conscious on a level of sustainability and practicing ethical business. So just capturing all that is so important.
People have this misconception that, you know, that you either, you know, can make a lot of money in business or be, you know, ethical and good for the world, right? You know, mm-hmm. and I think that stereotype and that stigma that has been created is the simple kind of dichotomy of the nonprofit versus the profit corporation, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the mm-hmm. profit corporation are these corporations out to make a lot of money, gobble things up, utilize resources, sell things, and exploit, you know, workers at some cause. You know, I'm giving an overgeneralization. I don't fully believe this in myself, but, you know, this is the dynamic.
Yeah.
And then you have the nonprofits where, you know, people have this also misconception that, you know, they give everything they get to serve their cause or organization, that that they don't inherently make money and that they struggle, right?
Yeah.
Both of which are complete false, right? There's plenty of nonprofit organizations that are ridiculously thriving, that utilize or that abuse their power, that have some of their CEOs or different aspects within it making tens of millions of dollars a year, that give less than 1 cent per dollar donated to the actual cause that they mm-hmm. have. Just to, you know, say, Humane Society yeah. might be one of those among many others, okay? And then you have other corporations like Patagonia that go in there and they make massive amounts of profit. They're a B Corp for benefit corporation. And even on Black Friday, they donated every cent that they made to giving back.
Yeah.
They didn't even take
amazing.
Any profit. And mm-hmm. they still provide a I think it's a 4-day work week. They give to their employees. They create this harmonious way, and they source like sustainable products. So you don't have to be one or the other,
yeah.
right? And that companies can be, you can have a business that does good, that comes from the heart space, that you can also find it to be very lucrative
mm-hmm.
and have a very nice living and have the means to, you know, in the capability to make millions, even billions mm-hmm. of dollars. And people have this, and I want to like really stress that I love having you on to talk about this, is that we can create successful companies. We as a collective conscious, we as all the listeners that are out there, like you don't have to cut corners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more and more I see a shift in consciousness and consumerism too, that people want more quality products, and they want to use their spending power for good,
yeah.
right? And so in that awareness, and also less is more. I see more people wanting to have less,
yep.
right? And so they will gladly, even if it costs the company, even if it costs you to create and spend a couple extra dollars using a sustainability or making sure that each shirt is imprinted with that love or whatever that case may be,
mm-hmm.
that few extra dollars, I think the consumer would gladly pay to have a quality product.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's only going to become more and more prevalent to people. And I think it's going to become the norm of people wanting to buy products in that way. And I think it's going to get to a level where people are like, no, we're not going to buy products from these other companies anymore, because now there are so many more companies that are making these products available, these sustainable products available. And, you know, I've been confronted by many friends of mine that are like, oh, you're making clothing. Don't you know how bad the fashion industry is for the world? Don't you know how bad the manufacturing plants are? This and that.
And that's
like,
exactly why you dive in and
yeah,
say, that's why
no,
I'm joining. Because
I want to make a stand. I want to like be, you know, like Patagonia. I want to, more companies need to come up into the scene and being like, no, it's not okay to make products this way anymore. We need to shift the way that we're thinking and producing. And it is important that new companies emerge, or that even companies that are already existing shift their business practices.
Yeah. And in the more demand, the more people that take that stand, the more that people are forced to make that transit.
Move. Yep.
You know, it's just yesterday, we were going and looking at different textile patterns and looking at where we can find the different fabrics and stuff for. Chris is, I just barely alluded to it on that, but she's helping consult with the Liberate clothing line that we'll be launching. But I was amazed that there was a couple people that were, if they got on the organic bandwagon and the sustainability bandwagon, they actually had a section of this is their fabrics. And the other people, it was amusing to me that some people didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
It is. You know, they looked at it and they tried to be like, oh, yes, it's this. And I'm like, no, if you don't even know what it means, it's definitely not.
Yeah.
Did you find that?
Yeah,
but
I think
that I really, in my heart of hearts, believe if there's more people that take the stand like you and like the clothing line that we're creating for Liberate too, is that if more people take that stand, those people that looked at us with the glossed over eyes and didn't even know what eco-sustainable fabric was, mm-hmm. and that they're going to be having a big section within their booth. Otherwise, mm-hmm. they're not going to survive.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Kodak of the fashion, right? You know, Kodak didn't want to become digital and said that they were going to stand by their prints, and you know, they became extinct.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you need to continue to be able to reinvent yourself and also go with the new curve and allow yourself to be different. Otherwise, you're going to fall behind. And so if some of these companies, I would say, if we go to the same event 3 years from now, if those companies aren't changing their model, I don't think that anybody's going to be ordering their fabrics anymore.
I agree. Yep, I agree. And, you know, there are so many mills and factories that are taking that stand, you know, and with the new kinds of fabrics, like Tencel, which was one of our favorites, and what I'm going to be making a lot of my products out of is made from recycled plastic bottles, you know, like that's amazing. And it's so soft. It's an amazing product.
It feels like
microfiber almost.
Yeah,
you know?
like the soft feel, and it's recycled plastic. Amazing. Yeah. And there's another material that we felt that was made from fishnet out of the ocean. So they go and they take the fishnet and then they break it down. That's more of a swimsuit type material, yoga pants material. That's what the yoga pants that we make for Liberate will be made out of. But mm-hmm. it's recycled fishnet. And then we even came across some really cool ones. There was product made out of milk.
Milk, yeah.
And then product made out of corn.
Corn
starch that was like dried and then weaved into a fabric.
Uh-huh. Organic cotton now, like, yeah,
bamboo,
and then the blends, yeah,
hemp, you know, yeah. So there's plenty of these different materials that they actually can give the whole line of the fashion industry, I think, everything they're looking for. And we heard from somebody that was looking around that there was a new company that launched out of Europe somewhere that they make leather out of pineapple.
Yeah. Pinetex or
So these
Pinetex.
And they just launched this year or something like that. I mm-hmm. doubt it's this year. It was probably last year since we're in the beginning of the year. But, you know, these types of things, you know, now we have leather out of pineapple. We have all of these different fabrics. And I'm telling you, if you feel these, and I was amazed because I'm sitting there and I'm a newbie. I don't know the fashion industry. Chris has guided me through it. But, you know, if you feel these different fabrics, they're literally just like the clothes we're wearing
and
now.
And maybe even better, you know? Even better. They're softer. They're amazing. And with the way they're blending them, they're nice. You can get different thicknesses and whatever. And I found some buttons for a vest that I'm creating that are made out of coconuts, you know? So it's amazing. Like, there's just so many products out there now that we can really start doing this. One of the guys was telling me, because I was looking for some hang tags, you know, I don't want to use paper. I don't, mm-hmm. you know. And he was telling me there's a company that makes hang tags that will grow a tree. You literally cut it off your shirt and you go plant it in the ground and it will grow a tree. It's like seeded somehow. So there's so many options. They're getting really creative in the things that they're making available for the sustainable products. It's really awesome.
It's exciting. It's exciting. And this is the wave of the future and the mm-hmm. new beginning. And I'm excited to see what name brand clothing lines that are currently out there, how they make a transition and shift. And I'm excited to see all the new ones that make way into the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have this planet that, you know, the current statistics of it is that the population that currently lives on the planet uses 2.5 times the amount of what is sustainable. Okay. So that means, just put it in a ballpark, we need 2.5 Earths to sustain the way that we live currently.
Yeah.
Now, how long is that going to be before it runs out? Now, the interesting part about this is it wasn't until the 1980s that we actually rose above our utilizing more and not living sustainable. Before 1980, we utilized within our means, and we lived within a sustainability worldwide. Okay. And America is the number one abuser of this. I think it's 10.4 times our sustainability level that we use. France is the second. And, you know, and it's interesting because I think that, you know, fashion and media and entertainment are the icon of change, or the gateway to changing and making the biggest ripple effect on the world, right?
I agree, 100%.
And yeah. You know, and so here in Los Angeles and in the United States, I mean, we really shift that with the media capital of the world and the entertainment capital. And then I ironically, you know, France is one of the biggest fashion capitals in the United States. And, you know, so I think if there can be a big mark and change within fashion and sustainability there, you know, that just helps. And if people think about what they wear every day and the impact that it makes on the environment, and does it biodegrade? Is it good? Is the dye and the textile runoff? Is it harming people? Is it doing that? Then what are they doing on the other levels, right?
Yeah.
And the clothes is a reminder of something that you're wearing every day. So then take it into, if you're being reminded, and every time you touch your sweater, your shirt, then you're thinking about also the other impacts that you're making, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other products that you're buying, or the things that you're consuming, or the even how your mood is affecting other people.
Yeah, yeah, the energy you're carrying through your whole being. And it's, you know, it's so, so important. And, you know, that's why I originally had the idea of moving forward with clothing, was I just saw, like, fashion, how it's a gateway, a medium, in order to make a huge statement. Because people see it, they want it, they, you know, like fashion, it's a lifestyle, it's an identity, people want to embrace that, you know, and for me, I was like, fashion, I want to utilize it, I want to expose this industry for this project, you know what I mean? And it just made sense, because like you said, fashion and entertainment and all those things are, it's what people sees, you know? And so I think it's super important, and it's the perfect way to, like, really make a change and make a statement on the shift of that's happening on this planet right now.
So good. Now, where can people find your clothes?
Well, right now, since we are rebranding, we're going to be launching our new collection, and that will be happening probably in June. Yep. And
Your website?
Yeah, well, we have our website, algorithmdesigns.com, will be up and running, and we'll probably also be in Liberate. And then so from there, we can we'll be able to let you know what stores that we are able to get into here in Los Angeles.
Awesome. What I always like people to leave people with something of wisdom or insight or last words. And so what would you say to those that are listening?
You know, I think it's really important right now in this time that we're in is to really look around and look at what's happening on our planet and understand that that's a direct effect of what's happening within ourselves, our beings. And so I think it's extremely important right now that everyone really take a time to reflect what's happening within themselves. If there's areas that they can do some cleanup, and really just tune in to yourselves. And that is where you're going to make the biggest impact for the planet, is within yourselves first.
So good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And everybody, thank you for listening. I hope this inspires you that in a in a small or large way, you can really make a difference and start to create things the way that you want to create them from your heart and do things that are good for all, you know?
Yeah,
and
for all.
Whether you're an entrepreneur and starting your own business or whether it's just in your daily life and you're making decisions of how does this impact everybody around me, not just myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, so here's to that new conscious thinking. And if you love this episode, enjoyed it in any way, please leave feedback. It really helps other people find us. The more reviews that we have, we show up a little bit better in iTunes. And so we would love your feedback. Thank you so much and join us next time.